The football gods are smiling on the new kicker for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. It is 20 degrees, sun shining, the wind, 8 kilometers an hour.
It doesn't even register in Saskatchewan.
Oh, Michael Hughes is woke up this morning, saw the forecast, and has got to be very happy, as should you if you're heading to the Rough Rider game. It's sweater weather, maybe even T-shirt weather right now in Regina for the finale of the regular season. A reminder, tonight, the Blue Jays game with the Sportsnet Blue Jays Radio Network will be on CJME and CKOM beginning at 6 o'clock for the 6:08 first pitch. And then the Green Zone post-game show, we're going to hang out and watch the end of the Jays game, and we will take to the air at the conclusion of the Jays game on these radio stations. We'll see how warmed up we are with post-game debates between Daryl Belton and myself before we hit the airwaves. With tonight's Blue Jays game. We're taking you to the 5 o'clock kickoff, of course, on TSN for the Riders and the Lions. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have just won 19-10 over the Montreal Alouettes, which means the BC Lions, with a loss, are going east to Montreal next week. A tie, they will be going to Calgary. A win, they will be hosting the West semifinal.
Wow, that's funny.
So there you have it. That's the scenario for the BC Lions, who I imagine very much want to be hosting the West semifinal rather than head to Montreal for the crossover spot.
It's a dead end coming out of the East if you're a Western team. Nobody's done it yet.
And if you're wondering how that happened, they played the Bombers back-to-back weeks 2 and 3, losing both of those games against the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And those are the only two games against the Bombers. So the Bombers hold the tiebreaker. They're both at 10 wins. So if the Lions lose, they head east, a tie. They will head to Calgary, a win, and they will host the West semifinal. But right now, let's find out who's going to eat.
Who's going to eat? With Belton Johnson.
Presented by Sherwood Co-op.
1, 2, 3, let's eat!
All right, Belton Johnson, where are we starting on who's going to eat and have a big game with the matchups you're looking at today?
Let's start with the Rider defense there, Jamie.
Rough Riders defense, Belton Johnson. Who's eating?
Brooks Jr.
Antoine Brooks Jr.
Oh, I like what he did last week. Looks solid, man.
And he's definitely going to play every snap today, I'd imagine, for that Rough Riders defense. Daryl.
Can anybody sack Nathan Rourke? You think he can catch him?
No.
No.
He's fast.
He is fast, yeah. Wow.
He had a big run last week there.
Wow. Okay. this is a tough one. I think they're going to... Keon Hatcher is going to be up against... Let's see how Red Wine does.
Red Wine?
I think, yeah, I like him too. And he's filled in for Roland Milligan, and you'll probably see a lot of Keon Hatcher, the leading receiver in the Canadian Football League, going into this week. I think that he's going to try to prove his worth. He's looked pretty good. He might get burned, but he might make some big plays too.
I'm going to go with a backup. I think Jameer Thurman will not be playing much today. He'll be out there, but I think Aubrey Miller Jr. is...
He flashed last game.
Too, yes, he did. Yeah. I liked what he saw out of number 47. So I'm going Aubrey Miller Jr. for the Rough Riders going to eat today. Where are we going next?
Let's go with the BC Lions defense, Jamie.
Who's going to eat for the BC Lions defense?
I know who you're
going
to take.
Well, no, I'm going with the Wiley vet there, Mr. Lee, halfback there.
He's really been a great addition to that team. That defense has really solidified, hasn't it, since he reappeared. I'll go with Matthew Betts then, I guess, right? When you were saying a Wiley veteran, I thought that's who you were grabbing. Okay.
Matthew Betts.
Defensive end. Pretty good sacker.
I'm going to go with the rookie quarterback who might have the play of the year, which is Carter Jr. At corner for the BC Lions today. Belton, where are we going next? Staying with BC?
Yep, let's go to the offense there, Jamie.
Are you going to go with Nathan Rourke? Do we ever play?
I don't remember picking a quarterback for a long, long time.
We kind of go, it's too easy to pick a quarterback. Yeah. But
I'm going to go McInnis this round.
Justin McInnis, the former Rough Rider against his former team. Is this Nick Dembski type just always getting back against his former team?
It could be, Jamie. Mm-hmm.
I got another former rider, James Butler, the running back. He was here?
Yes, he was. He got cut for Jamal Morrow, and he were at the same camp. They went with Jamal Morrow to back up William Powell, and then Butler landed in BC, and what a career he's put together through the Lions and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. I am going to go with, I'll just go with Keegan Hatcher. He's the number one receiver in the Canadian Football League, and he's against a rookie defensive back. I think that matches up very well for Nathan Rourke and Keon Hatcher Sr. As we'll wrap up with the Rough Riders offense, Belton, who's eating for the Rough Riders offense?
I'm going to go Neil.
I thought you might.
Tommy Neal, the Canadian who everybody with that number 83 goes, man, he looks a lot like Andy Fantuz out there running for the Rough Riders. Daryl Davis, who's eating for the Rough Riders offense?
I don't even remember who I said was going to get the most yardage.
I can tell you.
Okay.
You went with 55 yards for Sean Bain Jr.
Okay. There's my guy.
I'm going to go with another backup. I'm going to go with Thomas Bertrand Hudon.
Oh, yeah.
Is going to eat.
Yep.
I think AJ will play as much as Trevor Harris, and then we'll see a nice dose of number 30, TBH, the new Canuck truck for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Okay. The hint this week for the tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op was whiskey. And then Belton walked in with a bag, and I looked in it, and there was no bottle of Crown in there. So I was like, okay, I had a theory. We're just doing shooters for the final tailgating tip of the season.
Can you make that in a smoker?
No.
You can do anything.
Okay, Belton.
You can bake a cake on it.
I believe you, Belton.
Belton. What do we got for the tailgating tip with Sherwood Co-op?
Well, I hope you fellas really enjoy this. I kind of had in mind something about, you know, Halloween candy and everything, right?
Oh.
So did a smoked candy apple whiskey chicken wings.
Oh, boy.
You got that there?
Goodness.
So first thing, let's, you know, just with the chicken wings, right? Get them all seasoned. Get every nook and cranny covered with the seasoning there, right?
Uh-huh.
And put them on the smoker there, 225 degrees for about 25 to 30 minutes to get the smoke in the chicken wings. And then I like to finish them on the air fryer just to crisp them up. All right. Now, you're probably wondering about the sauce. And that's the candy apple whiskey sauce I made here. So did probably a shot and a half of what's the cinnamon, the fireball, right? A cup of Crown apple whiskey.
Oh.
And so we got all that in my favorite sauce pot there. And you want to burn the alcohol off and everything. Once the alcohol is burned off, I like to add in some apple cider. And then I add in brown sugar as well and a stick of cinnamon. So we got all this, you know, melon and everything. And I like that in chili pepper flakes as well, right? And the thing with this, fellas, you can't, if you overcook it, it's going to turn to candy. It'll harden up on you, right? So it's critical that you pay attention because I had to cook two batches this morning because I was watching a movie with my kids. But so, you cook it till it thickens and everything, right? Like you might have to do a little spoon test, right? Just see how thick it is.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right. So now we got the chicken wings ready there in the air fryer. We got the sauce ready in the pot there. So I like to toss, you know, get the chicken wings out the pot, toss it in the sauce there. And after you got them tossed and covered, guess what, Daryl?
It's eating time.
Hey, let's go, Daryl. Smoked candy apple whiskey chicken wings.
Nice.
Just a curveball, right?
Oh.
Hey, in the tailgate, I was like, man, I ain't even did alcohol. Like, you use a tailgate, you have all kind of things to drink.
And by the way, this week with the speech from the throne, tailgating will be a thing next year outside Mosaic Stadium.
Let's go.
Just do the show there.
Let's do it, man.
Let the negotiating begin. Okay. All right.
Bring Belton's cooking. What, you imagine the crowd that would be around us with Belton's cooking?
Oh, maybe I'll get that 1985 motorhome all fired up. We can do a show outside that thing.
Oh, man. I can see it now, man.
There we go. There's our future.
All right. Smoked, candied apple, whiskey, chicken wings.
See ya.
Daryl will be here after the Blue Jay game with the post-game show. All right, there's your tailgating tip. And a reminder, on our Green Zone Game Day podcast page, we have the pregame shows and the postgame shows. So any pregame show this season, you can go back and find Belton Johnson's recipes and get some good eating. Maybe you need a tailgate for a Grey Cup party in November. More coming up, including the coach's chair. We'll hear from the head coach, Corey Mace. I imagine he'd enjoy these chicken wings as well. On 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone, a pregame show ahead of the Riders and the BC Lions. 5 o'clock, the kickoff on TSN. And yeah, these are candy chicken wings.
Mighty Fine.
Yeah.
Mighty Fine.
Is it a hit?
Oh, yeah.
There's some kick to it, though.
I should have brought a shot of whiskey, too, though, or something. Just as a...
Then we couldn't drive to the stadium, though. Yeah, see, you true. Burned off the alcohol, so that's good
that's
for us.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I could dig into a whole pound of these sure. And in 3 minutes. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. We need more commercial breaks.
As we continue. But right now, it's... how much time do we have for Corey Mace? More eating for us as you hear from the head coach.
Let's go!
He's got the answers to the questions you want to know about the green and white. Now, the coach's chair.
Yes, you hear from head coach Corey Mace before each and every kickoff. And this week, the head coach was asked about kind of weighing the balance on how much starters need to play, want to play, how much the coach wants them to play.
Yeah, it is. It's a little bit of a balance, but, you know, just a thought process, I guess it really just depends on the situation that you're in and how many games, you know, that comes into play. But for us, you know, looked at it in totality from a two-game standpoint, we just want to make sure that, you know, we're not too rusty. So, you know, a lot of our guys will be playing this week, and it's good for us. And it's, I mean, we're paid to play an 18-game schedule, and this is number 18, so let's go play.
So Nathan Rourke's having a remarkable season. Is there maybe one particular aspect of his game that you could point out that has allowed him to leap into that forefront of quarterbacks?
You know, I don't want to say one specific because I think we've seen this before from him. You know, everybody's trying to compare it to his 22 season, which I think was kind of everybody, that was the first time he was kind of putting the league on notice, but we all expected that. You know, just obviously being in a new system with Buck, getting more comfortable in the system, he's able to go out there and process, and, you know, he can make all the throws. He makes a lot of really good decisions. I'd say this year maybe he's kind of opened it up a little bit with his legs, which, you know, watching college stuff, I mean, he was able to do that all the time. So not that it's a secret, but I think just confirms he's a hell of a football player.
Justin.
Michael Hughes told us about the somewhat secret workout that he had here in front of the coaches and the football operations staff. What was that like, and how do you feel he performed that day to earn his contract?
Yeah, he's here. So he had a really good day. And he's had really good days since being here as well. You know, it was just looking at a situation, see if we can get him some game action. And this is the week to do that, man. Big leg, played some good football in college, getting acclimated to obviously all the nuances of the CFL game, but at the end of it, line up and let her rip, man, and he can do that.
How have you seen this BC Lions team maybe change, or what have they kind of done differently? You haven't played them in a while, and since then Nathan Rourke's taken off, Matthew Betts, these guys have really found a groove since then.
Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, They're coming together as a team. You know, they're establishing their culture, getting comfortable with playbooks. You know, you got a new play caller on offense, you got a new play caller on defense. So I think they're just gelling, and they're finding their grooves and the things that they like and they're good at. Their defense has been playing at a a higher level, I think, since we played them. And then they're getting healthier on the offensive line. That's certainly going to help. And then, you know, you got arguably, or you're not arguably, you got an MOP candidate that's playing at a high level at your quarterback position. You know, you're going to be involved in every single game. So they're a confident group, and they should be. They've been playing really good football, man. So, you know, they've earned the right to be where they are, and they've earned the right to be, you know, part of the chase in the playoff hunt. So, you know, for us, it's a good team coming to play us. We feel we're a good team. Let's spot the ball. Let's go play.
All right. They will play 5 o'clock at Mosaic Stadium. That is head coach Corey Mace on this BC Lions team that has definitely turned around. As I said, they were 3-5, and since that point, 7-2 have been the BC Lions since that point in time. They came back from a bye week and have really put the league on notice. If I'm doing the power rankings of teams heading into the playoffs, Montreal, BC, 1-2 right now out of the six teams that'll make the postseason.
Montreal even after today?
Well,
with the stars, with the, right?
Davis Alexander, 7-0.
Yeah, they're a lot different team with him as their starting quarterback. Yeah. That's true. A lot of people are picking the BC Lions as a favorite, and everybody's saying, well, especially in Saskatchewan, they feel snubbed because the Rough Riders have the best record in the CFL, but haven't been overly impressive lately, but they're still the best team in the CFL. Shouldn't they be rated number one?
I think I would put BC up there, but
above Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
The way they're playing now,
right now I would.
You would put BC above them. Okay.
I would. You know, I don't know. Rourke, you need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. He can run. He can throw. How are you going to contain him? How are you going to beat him? Right. And their defense. That's what's kind of changed for them to kind of get over the hump a little bit, I think, because early on they were probably the worst defense, and now all of a sudden their defense, when those guys hit, man, like you said, Williams, Mike Owl, they're coming to hurt you there.
Yeah, I know they are.
They are hurting you, man.
And their defense was one of the worst in the league at the first. Well, when they were 3-5, now they're starting to move up. They're nowhere near as good as the Rough Rider defense. No. But this BC Lions, if you're going power rankings, the BC Lions offense, probably the best offense going into the playoffs.
Yep. Yeah.
BC Lions defense is probably still in the 4, 5, 6 of the, and then you flip it for the Riders. Their defense is still the best in the league. Their offense, they need to find some rhythm today.
They do.
Mm-hmm. True they enough, really do. Without a couple of starting receivers or three of their best receivers. So you're right. They need to. And that's why I think you got to play Trevor Harris. And that's kind of my argument in that favor. But I don't know. I still think the Saskatchewan Roughriders, I see all the polls. They're capable of being the best team in the league at any moment. Mm-hmm. And I still think going in with a rest, I still think that they should be atop the polls.
1-877-332-8255. Deager and Daryl on where the power rankings are. The Hamilton Tiger Cats won last night. We're going to go around the CFL. Some of the news, including a firing already in the Canadian Football League out of Ottawa after their loss to the Hamilton Tiger Cats, putting end to another frustrating season for the Red Blacks and now their former head coach, Bob Dice. We'll also hear from the new kicker, Michael Hughes, next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson getting you set for the BC Lions and the Rough Riders at Mosaic Stadium. Kickoff in just over 30 minutes. What a great day to be at a football game in late October. It is 20 degrees. Mm. There's no wind.
Whew. Sure, we're in Saskatchewan?
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah, no wind in this time of
year. Usually there's minus something out there, isn't it?
This time of the year.
Although Corey Mace has hinted in 2 weeks he would like it to be minus 20 for whoever's coming into Mosaic Stadium for that West final. As we continue here on the Green Zone pregame show, let's put the spotlight on the new kicker as Britton Gray and the writer historian Rob Vanstone talked to the man handling the kicking duties with no Brett Lawther today. It is Michael Hughes.
What are your sentiments as the game looms tomorrow?
Oh man, I'm super excited. You know, first professional start, and you know, I couldn't think of it in a better way. Everybody's path's different, You know, I just thank God, thank my family and friends back home that support me and just put my best foot forward every day.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. No pun intended.
How long has this been a goal for you to play professional football?
Oh, man. Last 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, I started in eighth grade back home and middle school, and, you know, I wanted to play professional ball. I just didn't know what sport. I was playing three sports at the time, and, you know, moving forward in life, you know, you kind of feel you have a thing for it and you can do it at the next level. And then, you know, you get to college and you have a great career, and that's the only thing that you can do is just treat it day by day. And, you know, ever since I'd say probably 10th or 11th grade, I was like, you know, I want to do this for a long time and, you know, have a long career. So, yeah, I would say ever since high school.
Ahead of a game like this, do you take a moment at that point to kind of think about, wow, I've made first professional game?
Absolutely. No, absolutely. You know, you have to. You know, the last thing that you want to do is go out there and have a big adrenaline rush and just be like, holy crap, what's going on? So, you know, honestly, you'll see me if I kick the game off, I'll go out there and I'll probably do a full 360 and I'll take in the moment and then I'll take a deep breath and I'll do my job because that's what I'm here to do.
How much has Brett Lawther helped you kind of get ready for this?
A lot, a lot. You know, him being an 12-year veteran, you know, I've leaned on him a lot over the last 2 or 3 weeks that I've been here. Just kind of seeing how he moves on a day-to-day basis and also how he treats every single rep. You know, I am my own person. But there's key pieces that I've taken from him over the last 3 weeks that have been super beneficial for me already just being here in Canada. Rules changes, you know, the way the game is played, you know, so certain things like that. And also, you know, hey, the wind's going to come this way 9 times out of 10. You know, those kind of things. But, you know, at the end of the day, I'm still my own kicker. And I'm going to rely on what I know and what I'm capable of doing and trusting myself. But Brett's been super special for me.
Has he given you advice on kicking towards pill country? Apparently that's...
Oh, that's the easiest end.
That's the easiest end?
Yeah, apparently. No. Pill country is a different breed. It's different down there on that end zone because the wind is just in your face. So you really have to stay true to who you are and trust it. And that's all you can do.
Ah, the infamous pill country end
that.
Zone. That's why they went for two instead of having Brett Lawther kick, apparently. Cool.
Although other kickers have made it from 50 going that direction into the same wind, but it is the area of the field that isn't surrounded completely with a wall, right?
It won't really matter today with the winds gusting of 8 kilometers an hour. It is a beautiful night for kickers right now in Saskatchewan. I was just looking at the forecast. Yeah, it'll be around 10 or less.
So what do you do with the game? What do you do if Micah Hughes goes 5 for 5?
Oh, Daryl, we're talking kickers again.
Yeah, well,
they're
important.
They're important people.
Brett Lawther missed a 49-yarder last week, and they lost by 2 points.
Even if he kicks good, just of course the season has gone, and they've had Lawther the entire time.
Yeah.
I can't see them changing. I cannot.
How the players feel about it?
Oh,
They really like Brett.
That's what I'm saying. They really like him.
Give him a chance through the playoffs because he's the guy, huh?
Yeah. I don't see. Like,
even
this should have happened. This should have happened.
I agree with you, Belton. It should have been done. If they were making a change, they should have made it long ago, like halfway through the season.
Right.
And they left it too late. It was too late to change the.
Do you
the
think
rhythm.
There's any chance Brett Lawther's not kicking in the West Final? Well, I think it's 100% he's kicking.
Well, they say he's hurt.
Is he hurt?
I don't know.
He Britain has been watching him and it says it does look like he is not, he's favoring it a bit on just looks a little uncomfortable at times.
I've
so,
never seen him limp in a game or anything, Jamie.
This is back, right?
Oh,
so
okay.
It's
all right. I just never
twisting
seen
something.
That.
We'll
okay.
see. We'll right. see.
It's a good way to keep him from talking to the media, too, right?
Oh, I'm. It's going to be very. Although Brett's never been a guy.
No,
to
not him. But the rules are: if a guy's injured and not practicing, you can't talk to him. So that's a good way for them to protect him.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Brett Lawther's ducking us. He doesn't do that. He's more of a professional.
He's never done
than that.
It. Yep.
But
the only time he ducks us is when he kicks a game winner. He wants us to all talk to the other players in the room who won the game, not the kicker. And when he misses, he's the first. He's standing there waiting. He's like, "I'm right here. Come talk to me."
Yep.
I have so much respect for Brett Lawther. But Michael Hughes, let's get to it. Bold prediction question. Kicks, including PATs, and field goals. How many kicks made? How many kicks missed? His longest make, his shortest miss.
Every kicker they brought in has missed a kick.
Okay.
Some of the kicks have been god-awful, right?
Well, Campbell Fair in Ottawa, that was, yeah.
So Hughes doesn't have to do much to be better than him, right?
Nope.
Nope.
Just make one kick. He's
good. Belton, what do you got?
Y'all will miss the, okay. You want to know how many kicks made?
Including point afters. Including singles.
Let's go. I'm going to go four.
Four? How many misses?
I'm going to be dumb. I'm saying none. No misses.
His longest make.
I want to see him kick a 51-yarder, Jamie.
All righty. And his shortest miss. Oh, you said
he won't miss.
So you can't answer that question. I think he makes five kicks. I think he misses one. He will make a 48-yarder, and his shortest miss will be 32.
Makes three, misses two.
Misses a point after.
Well, we're counting those, too, right? We're counting those. That's one of the kicks.
That's what is part of the kick.
He makes three, misses two.
Makes three, misses two.
Yeah.
Longest make?
46. Oh, sorry. That's the longest miss. That's his miss. 46, and his longest his longest makes 41.
Short miss. Not long miss. Shortest miss.
Shortest miss. Well, I think that might be it, too.
Okay, 46, 46?
No, 46 he makes.
Okay.
Oh, 41 he misses.
Okay.
Oh, 41 he misses. Okay. All righty. Let's go around the Canadian Football League here on the Green Zone, a pregame show on what news is being made. And, of course, yesterday in the Canadian Football League, the Hamilton Tiger Cats clinched first in the East with a big win over the Ottawa Red Blacks, 35-15. The bigger news out of that one, it was the last game. Head coach Bob Dice will be on the sideline as the Ottawa Red Blacks made it official today. They have parted company with the head coach, Bob Dice. And I tweeted this out. To think, after the 2022 season, going into 2023, Corey Mace was one of the three finalists for the head coaching job in Ottawa. They went with Bob Dice over Corey Mace. That next offseason, the Riders hire Corey Mace. Ooh.
So maybe Sean Burke.
Phew! From Craig Reynolds.
Yeah. Maybe Sean Burke should be fired for that, for hiring the wrong guy.
Well, he's getting the thing that Jeremy O'Day got, which is making a second hire.
Yeah.
Well, so, dude, what do you think they're going to do then? Like,
Rick Campbell's the most likely one. He's on staff. He's their special teams coordinator, and he's been a head coach in Ottawa before.
You don't think he'd go outside the box a little bit?
I think he do. I would too.
Mark Mueller and Josh Bell have to be on their list.
I think so, too.
The Riders coordinators.
Jordan Younger, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers coordinator.
Yeah.
I don't think Noel Thorpe's going to be considered anymore. I think that, you know.
You don't think so?
No. He's a great defensive coordinator in Montreal, but I think it's just set up that way. And eventually you get passed over so often that it's like being a draft pick. When so many teams pass you over that it's not your time anymore.
Here's my wild, it's not a prediction. Sean Burke has to call Orlando Steinauer and say, do you still have the coaching itch? After he was kind of moved out of head coach and given a president's role with the Hamilton Tiger Cats, although there are some speculation that there is still a coaching itch from Orlando Steinauer. You have to make that, although... Yeah. Being the president of a football team, a football operations department of a football team, and not having any ridicule about your coaching decisions and still make a couple of six figures, that's a nice gig for Orlando Steinauer. That'd be a hard pull out of the booth.
Like pinball in Toronto, who doesn't get criticized very often, except when he turns his back to Chad Kelly's operandus. But that's not a bad thought. But I think Orlando Steinauer's calling is as a coach, so I think he'd want a coach. It's a good point, Jamie. They should. He's one of the guys they should probably take a look at.
The Calgary Stampeders beat the Edmonton Elks yesterday 20-10, putting the end to the Elks season. Cody Fajardo says if he plays next year, he wants it to be in Edmonton. Also told media he thinks it would be best for Trey Ford to find a different scenery, different scenario. Might be best for Trey Ford. Trey Ford was not willing to discuss his future with the Edmonton Elks. In his postseason scrum.
That sure sounds like Cody Fajardo to me, doesn't it, Belton? We've learned what he's like, right? If I play, right, and Trey Ford should go somewhere else so that I can be the undisputed starter. So, I don't know. That's just a funny way.
Don't you think they get him back?
I think Cody Fajardo's their starter. He and Mark Killam got along. And
Cody Fajardo better be their starting quarterback next year.
What else have they got, right? And where does Trey Ford go? Ottawa is the only place I can see Trey Ford going.
Yeah, because that'd be...
Well, I have a few Rider fans in my timeline saying Trey Ford might look good as a Saskatchewan Rough Rider next year.
I think Trevor Harris has got another year in him here.
No, not as the starter, but
him up.
As a next
ahead of Jake
in
Mayer.
Line for the future. If you have Trevor on a one-year deal again, bring in Trey Ford as his backup potentially.
And teach him. Trey Ford's got some learning.
Potentially.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. He just signed an extension with the Edmonton Elks.
For expensive money. So they would have
absolutely.
To, they would have to,
it's going to be interesting to see what they handle there.
Wow.
Of course, Calgary's win means they'll be very interested in what happens today at Mosaic Stadium, because right now they are in second place in the West Division and would host the West Final, but they would need the Rough Riders to win or tie against BC to clinch second. If the BC Lions win today, they will host the West Semifinal next week against the Calgary Stampeders. If BC ties today, wouldn't that be something? They'll be going to Calgary. And if the BC Lions lose, they'll be going to Montreal. And Winnipeg will pay a visit to the Calgary Stampeders. So there is a scenario for all three potential results today. Win, lose, tie for the Riders and the BC Lions. So this one is meaningful. And that's because earlier today, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers beat the Montreal Alouettes 19-10 was the final score. The Bombers win. No Davis Alexander today. He did not play. Chris Streveler started, and he got injured early. Non-contact knee injury for Chris Streveler, and he needed a lot of assistance to get to the Winnipeg locker room. Didn't look good for the backup quarterback as Wilson came in and finished the job and got the win for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers today. And, of course, awards were announced. We'll find out who the West and East finalists are. I'm going to assume it's going to be Nathan Rourke for Most Outstanding Player and Most Outstanding Canadian out of the West. But shout out to A.J. Allen and his great year. And Jameer Thurman, do you think he has a shot against Matthew Betts and Clarence Hicks for the Defensive Player of the Year in the West?
You asking me right now? No, I don't think so.
No?
Jameer Thurman's playing doing a great job in the middle of a very good defense. But those other guys get the big numbers all the time. They're playing, right?
With the sacks lines, and everything,
the sacks,
right?
And the sacks are a sexy stat, right? So I think that often outweighs everything else.
It'll probably be close, I bet.
I think so, right? Yeah. Split them three ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you right now, I voted for Jameer Thurman over those two.
Yeah,
best middle linebacker of the best defense,
tackles.
Interception, and teams were running away from him because they were stopping the run so well at the start of the. And AJ, you saw AJ Allen's numbers start to increase because they're running outside more than up the middle on Jameer Thurman, and Mike Rose and Micah Johnson have to something to do with that as well. But we'll see what the voting looks like when the finalists are announced next week. Coming up next, we'll hear from the starting safety. He's back. After suffering an injury, Nelson Lacombo, I chatted with him. We'll check out the rest of the Riders' changes, and there's seven of them ahead of the kickoff tonight, 5 o'clock. Coming up in about 15 minutes on TSN, it's the Riders and the BC Lions. This is the Green Zone pregame show on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show as we get set for the Riders and the Lions in about 20 minutes at Mosaic Stadium. It's on TSN in the final game of the regular season. And yes, it matters. If the BC Lions win, they host the West Semi. If they tie, they will be on the road for the West Semi in Calgary. And if they lose, the Lions are going to Montreal for the East semifinal, and the Bombers will head to Calgary. So BC will want to win very badly to avoid having to travel to Montreal and then Hamilton to try to get to the Grey Cup. But let's get to a roster check. One change for the BC Lions. Tomasi Lalisle is in at defensive tackle for Jonah Tavai, who's a pretty darn good defensive tackle in the Canadian Football League. So there's one. That's the only move for the Lions from their game last week. For the Rough Riders, one change is at safety. C.J. Revis is being held back to get some rest before the playoffs. So Nelson Lacombo is back from injury to start at safety.
Yeah, no, it's definitely nice being back. A lot of time just to reflect and kind of go through, everything I can just to prepare myself like I'm playing. Like, it feels nice to be back on the field again. It's been a minute, but like I'm ready to go. So,
how much like do you go to school on yourself when you're not on the field? Like the film work and stuff like that. Like how much goes on behind the scenes when you're not on the field to make sure you're ready when you get that chance again?
Yeah, it's a lot of film study, a lot of film work. Kind of going back and watching some of the plays that trying to get better. You know, every day is just always trying to get better. So that whether that's going back and watching my old clips or getting ready for whoever we're playing next, and kind of visualizing myself out there as well. It's a lot of visualization and just preparation in that sense.
Watching CJ in your spot, does that help you as a vet and an athlete like CJ, kind of similar to yourself on how he plays things? Like, does that help?
Or? Yeah, definitely. No, he's a great player, man. He's a great player. So it's good to watch him out there, making all the calls, doing all the communication stuff, and there's certain games, certain aspects of his game that I try to pick apart, and I'm sure it's vice versa. So, yeah.
What are you hoping for this week? Like, how important is this game to get ready for the West Final, especially for a guy like yourself who has been out of the line?
Yeah, just making sure that I'm sound in my technique, sound in my assignments and alignments, and making sure everybody else is too. Make sure the communication is down pat in the back end, and trying to get the win ultimately. So, it's just another week where we're trying to go 1-0.
That is Nelson Lacombo. He is one of the seven changes from last week's game. Now let's start on the defensive side of the ball. After Micah Johnson was down for rest, this week it'll be Mike Rose. So Mike Rose is off. Micah Johnson is back in. Also on the defensive side, I mentioned CJ Rivas is getting the seat to rest this week, and Nelson Lacombo is in at safety. Also a flip, the most outstanding special teams player for the Riders, Nick Weeb, is down this week. Malik Straker is back in. As mentioned, we do have a kicking change. Michael Hughes will kick today. Brett Lauther will not. Joe Robustelli hurt his knee last week as we flip over to the offensive side. So he is down this week for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, as is Philippe Gagnon and Mario Anderson Jr. On the roster this week, Jamarcus Hardrick's back after getting arrested last week. Same with A.J. Ouellette. Noah Zaire will be one of the two backup offensive linemen today. Four American offensive linemen starting today as Washington moved from right tackle last week to left guard this week. So Collins, Washington, Ferland, Bramer, and Hardrick are your starting five offensive linemen on a little bit of shifting going on there for the Rough Riders.
Checking versatility, right? See if they can play everywhere.
I like it, man. The more pieces you can move around and do things.
Not
man,
many CFL teams have only one starting Canadian offensive lineman.
Right?
Uh-huh. I can't remember the last time anybody did that outside of a preseason game.
Right. Just to see who can play where.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then they have enough Canadians that they can do it, too. Yeah. With Lacombo and A.J. Allen and Campbell. They're starting eight. They're still starting eight with four.
I love it.
American offensive linemen. Okay, let's get to our final score prediction ahead of the Riders and the B.C. Lions. Belton Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see this one playing out?
I'm going with the Riders, 29-23. They're going to send the BC Lions out east.
Wow.
29-20. Belton's going with the – to get to the 13-5 prediction. I forgot about the 13-5.
They got to do it.
It's on the board.
Jeez. That's a tough one, Belton.
I know it's tough there.
But BC's got to win, and I think that makes a huge difference. But I admire your tenacity on that.
I also predicted 13-5.
You did, Jamie.
So I guess you're picking Saskatchewan as well.
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah, you guys. Okay.
Why didn't they go for the win last week?
Exactly, Jamie.
thought I was 11-7 or 12-6. I can't remember. So,
you're going BC?
Yeah, I'm going BC 35-29.
Ooh, a high scoring game. Yeah. To heck with my prediction. I want points for bold predictions to try to chase down Daryl Davis. So I'm going to go with the BC Lions, but I'm going to go much low scoring game. I think the Riders will have a lead at halftime. I think they will be in the lead at halftime, yeah, like 17-14. But then I think when the rotational guys start coming in, I think the BC Lions will win 28-24.
There you go.
Today at Mosaic Stadium.
Nice day. I think there's a lot of beautiful scoring day today. Belton, you beautiful were pretty low scoring.
Yeah, I was. Uh-huh. We'll see, Daryl. Okay. We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. Lots of points on bold predictions up for grabs with the Riders and the BC Lions. Of course, the game is on TSN. But a programming reminder to all you sports fans out there while you're watching the game, if you're not at the stadium on TSN, of course, watch the game and then you can listen on your radio. Game 2 of the World Series, 6 o'clock, right here on CJME and CKOM through the Sportsnet Blue Jays Radio Network. Regina and Saskatoon's exclusive home for the World Series are these two fine radio stations. And that means we'll be a bit delayed, or maybe not. Maybe it'll be an epically short baseball game today. But we will begin the Green Zone postgame show on the final out of the Jays and the Dodgers tonight.
That could
tonight
be midnight if there's extra.
Who knows? Who knows? Stay tuned for the Green Zone postgame show at the conclusion of Game 2 of the World Series. Enjoy the football game. Enjoy the baseball game. And we'll be back in a few hours right here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.